Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliate of Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Ah, yes. And welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of our little show. We, in addition to the Queen, will remind you I'd like to remind you that before we begin, that this clever little show is run by complete trained idiots. And unless you mean the disabled population, of which there are about 1 million of us. Sorry, did I say? Did we offend you already? Right, we're taking notes. People are standing by, and doctors are standing by to take your calls. And we know what you're thinking. You've tuned into the wrong podcast, or I'm going to find them, or this isn't fair, or something like that. Right, trust us, when we say this definitely will not work, and we just want to tell you that the opinions and the hosts of the, that are not condemned or owned by Blog Talk Radio or any other network. However, we like to say, like we said at the top of this announcement, this show is run by trained idiots. We have other idiots waiting in the control booth. What's that? Yes, the program is starting now. Is it now? Yes, now. Right, then. Well, we also want to tell you that the show contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for adult children, unusual humor, which may be unsuitable for adults, and advanced mathematics, which may be suitable or unsuitable for liberal arts majors. Did we say liberal arts majors? Sorry, we meant lawyers, caseworkers, nannies, Wall Street execs, and we're looking at you, office and six, and right. Quack doctors, people that are opposed to free speech, nasty tongue, even that's an old one. Let's see, Vladimir Putin, that's a more recent one, and soon-to-be dictators, Trump, who is leading, fuck him, in the national polls, and also people that are neurotypical, which is defined as two or more people in a group who are considered to be normal. And if you're listening to this podcast, you are normal. We've got news for you. Trust me, we've been taking notes. I told you at the front of this notice, we've been taking notes. And trust me, we have noted that you are not, well, neurotypical at all. Anyway, please, now go straight to your doctors and get your stuff checked. Thanks. And now, along with our first topic of the night, autism and its link to creativity. Well, duh, of course. There's a link between autism and creativity, because A, it's the silent majority. It's just like ADHD. You know, you can't really put a price on creativity, can you? Unless it's gold,
right.
then you can basically put a price on it, right? Right. So there was a study done by the BBC that basically, if I'm not wrong, that Martin Doherty at the University of East Anglia in England, and the co-author of the study published online this month in the Journal of Autism and Development Disorders, said they might not run through the things the same way someone without these traits would get along and get to cool ideas, but go directly to the less common one. For the study, researchers looked at the responses from 312 people, 75 of who said that they had received the diagnosis on the autism spectrum, and who participated in online questionnaires designed to measure the traits of autism and assess creativity. Participants were asked to identify as many political uses for potential uses for paperclip as they could. And while many people said that a paperclip could be used as a hook in cleansing or for cleansing small spaces, in less common responses including identifying office supply as a potential paper airplane weight, which is actually interesting. I've never heard that before. Or as a wire to support cut flowers, or a token for a game. A game? Yes, a fucking game. Anyway, the researchers found that the individuals who generated four or more responses considered to be unusual exhibited in higher numbers of autism traits. Conversely, when the study participants were presented with the abstract drawings and asked to provide as many ideas as possible, sort of like your regular, when you're being tested, they give you ink drawings or ink blots and say, what is this? Well, that's probably what they did. And when they say abstract drawings, and they found that those with the lowest number of autistic traits tended to generate the most ideas. Why? We have no fucking clue. Do you, Alex? I mean,
I think I could see that's a positive, because how many ideas are spread out due to people just thinking outside of a box, not being in a box.
Right.
So, what are you supposed to expect?
True.
Right? I think it's about time that people actually start realizing everyone has potential. It's not it's not just one group or another. That's downright sad, in my opinion. I don't see what makes one group of people better than another.
But
there's a level. There is a level. There is a level where people don't want to understand and see. And whose fault is that?
I mean, it's not anybody's fault, necessarily. I think that the insanity of they don't want to see it is very, how do you want to say it? Very palpable. Because most people don't want to see
it. It doesn't make it okay either.
No, it doesn't make it okay. But it's... it's a thing where it doesn't make it okay, but doesn't make it right for them to take it in a way. For example, if you gave this to a person in their 60s, right, who did not have any developmental disorder, nor autism, nothing, right, plain neurotypical person, and I know we have that kind of thing a lot on this program, that we don't despise people with without disabilities, but
we kind of say
how does it exist? How can they coexist? You know,
coexisting is better than.
Coexisting is better than nothing. But a lot of the time, our neurotypical parents or our neurotypical brothers, sisters, or neurotypical friends, or people who just don't get us. It's plain and simple.
And that's all well and good. You can't stifle creativity either.
Someone
is able to get to the same problem or get through something quicker than someone else, but doing it a different way, that's fine. That's awesome.
Right. I mean, a lot of like Aesop's fables are about doing it different ways, the tortoise and the hare. The faster one doesn't win the race, the slower one does. Which can be applied to people with disabilities, but when you talk about art and autism, you're talking about somebody's ability versus what they want to do. You know,
I was able to be creative with going through problems in school and going, okay, how do I, okay, oh, I could get through X, Y, and Z another way, and teachers go, how did you get that problem? Or how did you work that out when you should not even know this? Or, oh, so you went, go ahead and find out a problem. Yeah, does that matter? Unless problem gets gone.
No. I mean, it's the same thing with ADHD. I was able to, at one point, and this is kind of legendary among the faculty of St. Francis College in Brooklyn, that I was able to put into, I was able to put two authors in a boxing ring in an essay. And the way I did it was the most common thing. And it was about Fitzgerald and Hemingway. And so what I did was, okay, Hemingway loved to fight. That was his thing, right? He fought everybody. Even if you were the lowest man in the total world, he'd still fight you.
It would be a lose.
Right, and you would lose, right? So I put these two big, huge titans in a boxing ring and said, okay, we're not going to punch people out. What we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, we will have a spar-off of wits. and a contrast, contrast and protrast of what each other's strengths in writing and what each other's weaknesses were. It just so happened that, you know, to Fitzgerald's benefit, he was an exquisite drunk most of the time. But he also had some form of ADHD, actually. And many people, many authors do. Some authors don't, but like to say they do. But all in all, by the end of the essay, you actually got what a... I segregated it into rounds, just like a boxing match would, right? And so at the end of the essay, I had to give one or the other the benefit of the doubt, right? And so I came out of the essay and I got a note on the final exam which said, you weren't ever able to do this in class. Why have you done it now? And so I met with a person who happened to be the director of an academic support sub at St. Francis, who was also my professor, who left me a note. I said, because the ways people think differently, you know, and if you're creative enough in terms of how one goes about answering a question, you don't always have to be black and white about it.
It's
you
color.
Know? It's a variety of color. I mean, Johnny, were you that way when you were in school?
What?
In terms of how did you answer questions?
Did you look outside of the box? Or did you go, okay, I could see something that someone else necessarily may not see? Or is it something else?
I think I saw it, like, was like, this is the answer. Like, everything had an answer.
Right, but did you come to it in a way of... a way of the usual minds, or just, you know, something that is...
different from
something that was different.
I think I usually have the same mind.
And everyone does think differently. Not one person thinks alike either. So that's the beauty
there had
of it.
To be something different, but that was like so long ago.
Right. I mean, very often that's what I did. I mean, even before SSC, that's exactly what I did, and it worked for most of my exams. You know, the only one that really didn't get it wasn't my wasn't the person who graded me and gave me the note. It was there was another one who said, "Well, how can you do this without without you know, drawing from other things like notes and whatever, take-homes and whatever." I said, because I know diagrams, you know. I know how to navigate those diagrams. And I think the link to any disability, whether it be autism, ADHD, Asperger's, you know, retardation, all of that, right, if your kids think differently, let them think differently.
I see. If I could get to how I ended up doing so well in other classes when I was in, going to get my degree for business, which I face challenges for, how I ended up associating doing so well in accounting and economics, it was a way of going, okay, there's another way of thinking about it. So,
great.
So,
I mean,
it's a different way of thinking, but you're still getting to the same answer, the same outcome. If it's looking at in making accounting, which could be very challenging, which could be extremely challenging, if you don't know, okay, what is credit or debit? And it's on paper form, you have to realize, okay, what could be credit, what could be debit? And go from there.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you don't, like, in your mind, it might be something different
than someone else's.
In somebody else's, it's, in somebody else's, in somebody else's, it's more of a thing where, it's more of a thing where people don't accept the difference, and when they don't accept the difference, then then somebody who is who doesn't see it. That's the thing.
Right.
So, we have other topics to move on to, right? Right.
Yes.
So, on with Apple.
Apple.
You have failed us how many times? How many times have you failed us? Not once, not twice, not three, not even four. Five fucking times. Why? Because some of your iPhone 6s have faulty cameras.
Mm. That's not good.
No. It's not good. And it is one of those things that I think they should just give everybody a free iPhone of their choice. Free iPhone, no, you know, data plans or whatever.
Right, just
you know.
iPhone.
I think that would be I think that would be a good thing. In many ways, you know, in many ways, I think Apple is trying to invariably try to invariably try to make things better for the iPhone, but why don't you realize, Apple, that the Apple Watch isn't going anywhere anytime fast? You know, stick with what you know.
Just like, actually, coming up with an idea to have another iPod that has larger space. Because those who have the older iPods could enjoy that. Now, what does that lead them to?
It what?
What does that lead them, those who actually have? Yeah. Yeah. I think it leads them to get a new iPod that isn't necessarily the best.
I mean, it is kind of a thing. If you walk to the Apple Store, they're all psychologically impaired, right? So if you walked up to the Apple Store and said, "Sir, I have a faulty camera." "Oh, that's $25. "Sir, I have a faulty camera." "Well, that's $30. "Sir, I have a faulty camera." "That's $150 and your life savings."
No. It's like, no, yeah, you can get this because your warranty is up.
Yes. Right. Your warranty is out. Yeah. My warranty is out of date? Well, fuck you. Right, I'm now going to be a little bit of Cartman, you know, mixed in with, like, Pudgy the fucking Porky Pig, you know. What? My warranty's out of date? Well, maybe you should extend the fucking warranty. You know.
It's almost like you can't, and some people go, they may not be able to either. So,
I mean, I agree on some level, but on another level, I have a very hard time trying to find acceptance over the fact that, you know, Apple being the super, you know, computer of everyone now, not everybody, but most people, have basically said, "We're going to replace the faulty cameras, but we're not going to give you any range of new service whatsoever." That's what I find troubling. I mean, we're not going to even extend your warranty. You know, well, if you sign up for AppleCare, who gives us? Yes, AppleCare may.
But it only extends it 3 years.
Exactly.
So it's like, after those 3 years, don't come back. It's almost like, just don't come back.
Exactly. You know, how and, you know, what in one of the factors of Apple's warranty, why can't they extend it for 2 years or 4 years? Or,
Or a 10-year warranty. There's companies out there that give a nice warranty to people who actually.
Right. But what in the world are you doing, Apple, where you're replacing it, but you're not going to, you know, do anything regarding the factor of a warranty, or at least something. Of a something of an update, you know. You know, that's what I don't get. What are you getting from this?
I think that a way they should do it, they should make it where those who have this issue actually they actually get it. They actually see that, oh yeah, what they're doing is wrong. Versus going, oh no, we could just do this. No.
Right, I mean, and belabor the point as it may be.
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
Isn't fair. Isn't good either.
You know, I mean, Tim Cook, did you ever think that, you know, it was right of you? To, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To issue, take out the iPod, right?
No, and now they're moving it back, so what does that lead? More people, purchasing the iPad because they usually don't want to actually promote another product. It's been demoted. Yeah, that doesn't help.
Well, as they say vintage dies.
Yeah, the iPod's like an iPad for kids now.
Yeah.
For what?
It's like the iPad for kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that shouldn't be.
It's like the Nintendo equivalent to the 2DS.
Right.
It's watered down.
Watered down, plain Jane.
Plain Jane, same thing, but not as good. Doesn't do what the bigger model does.
Right. It's like,
right.
No,
and
that's the same thing, no.
Give me a high-capacity MP3 player, iPod.
The iPod Classic was high-capacity. You got what you needed out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the iPad versus, like, what made them... That's another thing. What made them decide to have a golden MacBook Pro?
Right.
Can anybody answer me that besides the fact that, you know, besides the fact 007 might be coming out next year and Q is not on the resume? You know? Q.
What?
You know, Q.
Oh.
Q who does... Q and James Bond. Q is the inventor.
Yeah.
Yes, Q.
Right.
Q. You know, did Q invent... I mean, that was a fucking
slick... It's almost like, so you come up with a product that is golden. Most people will go and say, we have a golden iPhone. Golden plated iPhone. Now you're... Is this trying to flash out what money people have?
Right.
Because,
you know.
Because it's almost like coming, yes, we're doing this just to show off how much money we actually have or not have.
Or we've stolen it off you and you don't fucking know. You know?
Right.
And in other news, Facebook, right, has completely resigned an oldie but goodie and are continuously replaying their biggest hits. One of them being, do you remember the little thing called notes in terms of the fact that you couldn't update your status more than 500 words? Well, they have basically,
they're coming back.
It's coming back, you know.
Which
why
means
in
if
the world?
No one ever, no, it's almost like, so you want to bring up something that didn't work to begin with? Come on. Just come on.
Come on.
It's almost like now, yes, but now they're trying to compete with Tumblr, which Tumblr is a great place. Great place to actually find out about certain things. It's totally different when you're dealing with the people going, yes, we're not going to compete with Tumblr, and again, it didn't work to begin with. So it's either going to fail, or fail again.
Especially unlimited status on your status.
Right. I kind of think Zuckerberg should quit while he's ahead. Because this is very...
Or behind.
Right.
You know.
Either way, it's starting to get old.
It's starting to get old really fast. You know. It is starting to get old really fast, and there isn't much that we can actually say that is it is kind of a thing where it's kind of a thing where what you don't know, what you don't know isn't gonna hurt you, kind of thing.
Right. It's almost like,
but the other funnier part is how in the world do you actually, you know, How in the world is it where the if Windows and is catching up to Apple and saying we've got a tablet that converts to a laptop, and
awesome, awesome, great, lovely, great competition.
Right.
People welcome competition.
Yeah, welcoming competition, sure. But welcoming competition versus
not, Right. It is kind of a thing where you don't
where one of two things happen, all these people are catching up to Apple.
Right.
And Apple isn't noticing it. That's the funny part. Apple's like, what? People, what? Yeah, nobody's catching up to us. What? Fucking people catching up. What? People catch up to us. What? What are you talking about? Exactly.
What?
People. Oh, shit. Now what? Now. Oh, fuck. We owe people iTunes 6? Fucking Christ. Now what? Next thing it'll be, free fucking iPads. What? Am I a charity case? No, we're not a fucking charity case. We are Apple. We stand for Alan Turing and the we stand for Alan Turing and the invention of the computer, and we also stand for a shitload more. Now, a shitload more is kind of, fucking, not a shitload more. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Apple and Facebook. Facebook, on the other hand, is the bastard son of, the bastard son of Mark Zuckerberg.
Which means...
Apple slice. Anyway,
It's one thing.
It is one thing that, Facebook being the bastard son that we were all gathered on 2005 like fucking flies to honey,
right,
is now reviving a thing that wasn't so popular in the first place. Yes, it's great for Mark Zuckerberg and his many clones. Yes, it's great for popularity. Yes, it's great for news. Yes, it's great for everything.
But if people don't want to use it, don't put it out there.
Don't be putting shit out there that is not, will not ever be Will not ever be
used.
Exactly. That's the word.
If someone's like going, yes,
going
to be putting out something that will not be used and be a waste of stuff. Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Nah. Maybe this is another way Facebook could cash in, but it's not going to, if you don't want to use it, guess what? They're not going to use it.
I mean, it's like,
I can't say otherwise.
I mean, I can't say otherwise in in the factors of what they're doing in Facebook land. I mean, they're doing many, many things. But, you know, as they say, and now for something not completely different, but almost different. The new rules have kicked in for the Disability Scoop and the modified tests for students with it ends the modified tests. The new people, they fail to say the new people, not the old people, that, you know, neurotypicals are basically saying, oh, we have disabilities so we can actually get higher grades. No, not really.
That doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. According to the U.S. Department of Education, is doing away with a policy that allows states to consider some students with disabilities academically proficient without meeting grade level standards. Meaning, and I have to make this very explicitly clear, that we, all of us on this podcast, have a disability. We know what it's like to be in your shoes. We know what it's like to be in your shoes with this. We've had it. We've done it ourselves. And what this new rule is if you already have an IEP and you already have those things going, they're not going to just take it away from you. It means that the people who come in and have new things, they must identify with everything else. And so that the modified tests, you can still modify them. It's just, you can't it has to be a thing where if you haven't, you're going to have to get retested for your IEP. Those people who were who took standardized tests in the past, like RCTs in New York, you know, standardized tests in London, which would be the A levels or O levels, and any other state in the nation, right? You have to probably, you know, they're going to examine your IP and say, do you need this? Do you really need this? And then they're going to follow whatever on the IEP. They have to. They have to. I mean, Allison, what kind of things did you face very quickly? Because it's 10:50.
I face challenges. Everyone does. Also, standardized tests aren't easy. They never are. Teachers, and with this could lead to teachers having to not be able to even have to stand by and watch students have problems and have problems, and they can't even just go break it down because they won't be allowed. And that's where I go, where this could impact those students who really can't take standardized tests. And there's no way around it with this. And on Disability Scoop, there's several comments I do agree with, because there's teachers out there that really, really do help the students, but they're not allowed to give them they aren't allowed to even break it down when it comes to this, which is definitely a challenge. And I've been in those positions where teachers say, you know this.
Right. I mean, just because you know it does not mean that, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean that you are doesn't mean that you actually know it or remember it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. If you do remember it, then good on you. But when you say, oh yeah, I remember it, or you know this, you have to be reminded in terms of questions. Questions have to be read aloud, that kind of thing. And if we can give any advice to people who are with the IEP or have to get new IEPs or whatever, we can say that it isn't easy, you know, but you know, that, like we said at the top of the program, with everything else.
Well, we have to put out what is out there, too, because it isn't easy to see teachers even respond to this and go, we're left at standstill. This is going to set people up to fail. That's very hard.
Right. And what's even harder is to see how.
And even seeing teachers respond, people who are in that, who teach, even respond to this on Disability Scoop. It's great. It's awesome to see them actually speaking out, because they're going to be affected, and it's going to set kids up to fail. if they can, say, read it out loud, which most people, when it comes to staring right to us, you can't read it out loud. There's no way of helping. They get to monitor the students and see them work so hard, but yet fail, which does not help. Even if you have an IEP, they wouldn't be able to help.
Sure.
I think there's a level where if someone's not going to want to help, if this new thing that's coming out, yes, it could be good, but there's a lot of bad that could come with it. And what more could you do? Either stand by and see kids fail because of something that you could have actually helped, or allow people to dictate what is actually necessary. That's for students who struggle on a daily basis with math, reading, writing. As much as people could be creative, people not necessarily could do well on standardized tests. And if they can't read them, what does that help with? That's a setup to fail.
Yeah, it's a setup to be blind, but with 3 minutes. The setup to be blind, I mean, the moral of the story that we're trying to tell you is that if you don't read us the questions, we can't really help you. It's like, it is like trying to figure out what expressions mean when you are literally trying to figure out what they mean.
Right. Or a new phrase or an idiom. If you don't know what something could be and someone's trying to say, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. Or it's on a test and you go, what the heck is this? I don't know this. This isn't what I'm learning. What the fuck? Is that fair to the students? Is it fair to the teachers? Is it fair to those who actually are working hard to gain that gain success? And we'll leave you with that.
We'll leave you with that.
For tonight.
Right. Right, for tonight.
And we'll let you...
And we will be back on, I guess, Wednesday. We'll see you then. Bye now.
Bye. Right.
Bye.